This is the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Our audio drama this episode is called Circe. In our opening dramatization, in this episode, we focus on the relationship between Circe and King Picus, here played by John Weber. Picus was the king of Latium, the modern-day region of Lazio, close to Rome in Italy. Ovid tells us that Circe and Picus were involved in a relationship, but that Picus rejected her, returning instead to his wife. In this dramatization, Circe is played by Abby Hilden.
He stands before me, his head bowed. His beautiful hair falls across his downturned face. The evening light turns his skin to deep golds and browns. Do I detect the hint of a tear rolling down his cheek? Oh, the cheek I have touched so many times, pressed against my own as we made love. An uneasy shuffling, fists clenching and unclenching. The beautiful, delicate fingers skilled in coaxing the most mournful and lilting melodies from the harp, and in drawing moans and sighs from my own lips as they traced the smooth skin of my inner thigh or the curve of my hips, gentle yet insistent, playing my body as though it were a musical instrument.
Circe, beautiful Circe.
Oh, what you do to me.
You are amazing.
Sweet, sweet man. Showing me breathless abandon, losing my mind in lust and longing. My body melting into his, our skin becoming as one. Heart seeming to burst from my chest, from my chest, from my chest. Here he is rejecting me, saying,
Circe, you are perfection, my very definition of paradise, but I fear our time together must end.
Saying,
My wife seems somehow to have found out about.
And I let the silence drag, draw out his unease as I compose myself.
Us, seeing each other, and as I'm king of my kingdom, my fall.
A king, speaking like a vanquished enemy.
So I need to...
just go before I... And in that moment, I feel this hot surge of vengeance swelling inside me. The sorceress emerging from within me. The wronged woman. The vengeful harlot. The spurned lover. The lustful, hungry lover.
But... my love, we were so good.
His beautiful body, the chest I have drawn my fingers across so many times, the firm thighs, sinuous arms, his hair, the way it falls across his face and shoulders. Silence! Not another word.
One last kiss, my love?
And I lose myself. Summon strength beyond my own and pin him against the wall, hand under his chin. Feeling the blood pulse in his neck. Give me one reason why I shouldn't. and my mind races. I think of his beauty, the body I have loved so much, that I cannot bear to lose, but which, at the same time, I wish to destroy. Turn you to stone, right here and now. Don't you think you deserve that? Use you the way you've used me as some decoration, distraction, piece of eye candy. You could be my ornament, a souvenir of our time together.
Cersei, no!
Or what about your wife? You know I have spells that could turn her into just about anything. How would you like to be married to a pig, Picus? And he cannot speak. And I can feel the terror rising up in him, knowing he is fully aware of my power, perhaps for the first time. Just go. Just get out and leave me alone.
My love, thank you for sparing me.
Oh, you're just not spared yet. Not by a long way. You don't spurn a sorceress the way you spurn me and just walk away as though nothing happened. You don't get to insult me with half-hearted attention and then just jilt me like a half-drunk glass of wine. I'm not done with you. Not by a long way. And he turns and runs down the path towards the woods, wanting to put as much distance between him and my sorcery as possible, flying from him. Flying! In that moment, without thinking, without contemplation, letting my anger guide me as I sling up my hand in a spell of vengeance, watch as the brilliant light seemed to scorch the morning air between myself and his fleeing form. Watch as he seems to stagger for a moment, winded by the force of the magic, and then, miraculously, in a haze of shimmering effervescence that seems to bend light itself in 100 directions, watch as he seems to shrink and change form, his arms stretching to wings, his body lifting from the ground, and his tiny legs tucking beneath his body as the wing beats carry him from me, beating faster and faster, until no onlooker could tell that this wasn't a perfectly normal bird on a perfectly normal morning. A woodpecker, off to make a nest in the carved-out trunk of a tree.
In our second dramatization, we have tried to loosely adopt the style of the Greek chorus, allowing the collective voice of Cersei's victims to be heard. Within this, we focus on two specific episodes. Katie is the woman who Cersei turns to stone for being more beautiful than the goddess, whilst John plays the more familiar role of a man turned into a pig by Cersei. Each comment and express horror or agreement at the transformations of their colleagues, realizing that their own perilous existences rely on them not incurring the wrath of gods and goddesses capable of inflicting similar fates on them.
Cersei, the sorceress, the most powerful user of magic in the ancient world, the scourge of mortals and gods alike.
Cersei, a malign and cruel presence at a time when cruelty was everywhere.
Retribution, revenge, avenging herself upon those she feels have wronged her.
Whether they have or have not, the definition of wronged her is somewhat loose.
Some know her as the goddess of magic, the very soul of sorcery, in a world where magic and enchantment are commonplace.
Skilled in the use of herbs and potions, yet able to cast spells seemingly from thin air.
Conjuring the very elements to do her bidding.
Earthquakes, whirlwinds, hurricanes, volcanoes.
Able to cast spells that rip trees from the ground.
Spells that part the oceans and cause rivers to flow upstream.
Enjoying the spells she casts and the suffering of those she charms, using her victim's own weaknesses and character traits to design what she calls
apt punishments
to entrap them and provide her with a sense of achievement.
And it wasn't just her cruelty, her enjoyment of the spell she cast, and the plight of her victims.
She was beautiful and insanely jealous of those whose beauty came close to her own.
Because I was beautiful, and because her vanity knew no bounds,
resented her presence, felt slighted by her beauty.
She turned me into stone.
A stone statue.
Into stone.
Used my own vanity to lure me to her chambers, where she told me that she adored my beauty so much that she wished to have my likeness carved into marble for all to behold.
Using the weakness of others you see, lured her with her own vanity.
My vain interest aroused, lured me onto the plinth she had prepared, a plinth on which my likeness would stand above all others, my beauty, there for all to see.
Vanity, beware vanity.
Froze my feet to the plinth so I could not move, and calmly told me that there was no sculptor, no marble, no chisel, that my own body would be the statue.
And a delightful one.
Of course she pleaded.
Pleaded for her life.
My lady, please spare me. Don't turn me to stone, I beg you.
In vain, of course. Circe's mind was made up.
As a statue, she could not provoke Circe's jealousy.
As a statue, she could not flaunt her beauty, which surpassed that of Circe herself.
And with horror, seeing the look of cold-eyed triumph on her face, I realized that I was doomed. My fate, sealed in the marble I would become.
No escape.
Feet frozen to the marble plinth?
Your beauty preserved for eternity.
Eternity?
Eternity.
And she cast her spell, her awful spell.
Fills the room with light.
An earthquake rumbling beneath the plinth.
Her feet growing cold.
Like ice. Her blood running cold like ice.
The color draining from my skin.
The spell working. Spreading up her legs, ridding me of my problem. Easing my jealousy.
Cold, so cold.
Tries to move her legs but cannot.
My knees locked. The cold numbness spreading.
Desperate realization.
Can't believe what's happening.
Turning into stone. I'm turning to...
Turning to stone.
To stone.
Stone.
And in just a few moments, it is over.
She is a statue.
A beautiful statue that no one will ever see.
Cold. Lifeless.
Not lifeless. I am aware. Still thinking. Still seeing.
In pale Istrian marble.
Marble. My body is marble. And I cannot move a muscle. But still... alive. Somehow. Alive.
Your awareness, your realization of what had happened, all part of the spell, satisfies my... cruelty? Creativity?
Don't leave me like this. Please, I beg of you, have mercy upon me.
But no sound comes. Statues cannot speak, and...
I am just a statue. Oh God, help me. What is to become of me?
But Circe's main claim to fame,
or notoriety,
is her reputation for turning people into animals, especially into pigs.
I was a pig.
She saw you eating.
Like it was the first time you'd eaten in days.
I was hungry.
Gluttony. Eating like a pig. food round your mouth.
The whole meal gone in moments.
Swine. Mortals are all swine at heart. I just cast the spells to confirm that.
This pain in the pit of my stomach, like my innards are being twisted and ripped from my body.
Human bones breaking and recasting themselves into those of a pig.
Falling towards the floor where you roll in the filthy, cloying mud.
As pigs do.
What is happening? What has she done to me?
Snout in the soft, cold earth.
Wallowing in the mud where she thinks you belong.
Turned into a pig for your greed and impertinence.
My lady, spare me. Have mercy upon me.
Always mercy? They always cry for mercy as though...
As though she gives a damn.
As though mercy is something that even crosses her mind when she wakes each morning.
And all I can do is grunt and contemplate my feet as trotters.
Too late to save you now.
Your snout into the trough.
A parody of your greed.
And others are transformed also. Hundreds of others.
Turned into trees.
Turned into eagles and ravens.
Turned to cattle.
King Picus turned into a woodpecker.
Others turned to snakes.
Fish doomed forever to swim against the river's flow.
She turned me into a toad.
Into a bear.
Into a fountain.
Into a lion.
Turned me to gold.
Turned me into a pillar of salt.
Turned me into a dog.
And my reputation, even my terrible reputation, cannot give full account of my power and my cruelty.
In our second dramatization, you heard the voices of Katie Janner, Shelby Baum, John Weber, and Abby Hilden as Cersei herself.
We end this short episode with a poem by Chelsea Buckner. You can find more of Chelsea's work by searching for Poems and Peonies on Instagram. This poem evokes Cersei's power and femininity, particularly as a scourge of men who dare to cross her. Cersei is read by Chelsea Buckner.
I am Cersei, goddess of magic, potion, and herb. I rule, I rule, I do not serve. I grant the punishments men deserve. The men that do not recognize my divinity, that do not worship my femininity, the men that hide their soul from me, I'll uncover its filth for all to see. The men that only see through eyes of desire must live inside his own soul's mire. He wonders why I should make him a beast, not a god, not a star. I am all-seeing. I only make you what you are. You must go down, down, where both man and beast belong. The height of my waist when you stand tall. I am Cersei, goddess of all. I am Cersei, can't you see? I am Cersei. Don't fuck with me.
In Cersei, Goddess of Magic, Abby Hilden plays Cersei, and John Weber, Picus. Other parts are played by Katie Janner and Shelby Baum. Narration was by Kelly Winkler. The music was written and performed by Chris Gregory. Sound effects were from freesounds.com. Cersei was an Alternative Stories 2019 production. Thank you for listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to learn about past and future episodes. If you would like to learn more about Alternative Stories or contribute to future episodes as a writer, actor, or composer, please visit alternativestories.com.